This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Scott Miller joins us now from Bleacher Report. Talk a little baseball, the sport that Michael Jordan tried to play without much success. How are you, Scott Miller?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Tony. Nice to be with you guys. All good. How about yourself?
Always
fantastic.
A pleasure to have you aboard on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And, Scott, I'm not sure quite where to start because you're working like crazy. I mean, I looked up on Bleacher Report. There are like 9 stories on there. So I want to start with the umpires and the robots and the Atlantic League and what in the world they are trying to do to my game of baseball.
I know, right? Yeah, well, we've heard about these first of all, the name robot umpires is probably, I mean, I'm not saying it's not controversial, but I think the name robot umpires is probably far more entertaining than it really is, because you hear robot umps, you're like, what, is there a robot, like, behind the plate, you know, behind the catcher? No, there are no robots. But, that's kind of what's been dubbed the electronic strike zone, and they're testing it this year in the Atlantic League. It was supposed to start in April, by the way, but they kept running into myriad delays in the, because everything has to be calibrated just right. And they finally got it going. They tested it in the Long Island Somerset game a couple weeks back, and then they had it in the All-Star game, the Atlantic League All-Star game. The Atlantic League has essentially become kind of a research and development league for MLB. You know, they're not doing the electronic strike zone or robot umps yet in any affiliated minor league. It's all the Atlantic League. And obviously some people have some feelings on it.
Yeah,
clearly by by some of the quotes you had in your article, it seems like a large majority of guys are against it, but you had a few guys, CC Sabathia being one, that felt like if they're getting the calls right, guys will get on board. Now, how much of this, you know, we talk about this electronic strike zone, and I think it was Corey Kluber who actually brought up the 12-6 breaking ball that clearly bounces before it gets to the catcher, but because it crosses the zone, it's a strike. How do you combat those type of things when if it even combats it at all?
Right, and I think, Tony, that's why they're doing so much testing of this, because they understand that there are some issues that they would need to address and issues that would need to be solved, because if and when it comes to MLB, and look, if this runs smoothly in the test, it all passes with flying colors, you know, I think we could see it sooner than later, you know.
Oh, really?
Three or 4 years. But again, if there are no kinks, and as we all know, because all you got to do is look at the current instant replay in Major League Baseball, and we all see there are some kinks with that still. But that's a big thing. Is a lot of the discussion came to, well, you know, okay, who's is going to benefit the hitter or the pitcher more? And a lot of the players I talked to think it's going to benefit the pitcher more. And as you mentioned, Tony, Corey Kluber spelled it out, and others agreed that there could be some funky things with the curveball, where the curveball clips the front edge of the electronic strike zone and registers as a strike, but then it bounces on the plate, and it's essentially an unhittable pitch. Now, interestingly enough, Corey Kluber, of all people, said, I like the human element. I do not want an electronic strike zone. You would think him, of all people, and some pitchers would be like, hey, man, if we're going to be able to get away with some curveballs here, we're all for it. But they're still mixed.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me as much, because the one thing I know about almost all pitchers is that one thing they enjoy is the competition between hitter, batter. And if they know they have a clear advantage, Yes, a lot of them would take advantage of it in the moment, but they would feel they wouldn't feel that great about it going home. I mean, you are literally throwing a pitch that bounces before a guy could actually swing at it. Did you talk to GMs around the league, people in the actual, you know, top levels? Did they have any comments about this kind of stuff?
Mostly players. I don't think I talked to any GMs. I did talk to Terry Francona. It's kind of funny. His quote got cut out of the story. One of the editors said, you know, it's just you didn't have that much to say. But but anyway, Terry Francona, a longtime manager, as you guys well know, Cleveland Indians now, formerly Boston Red Sox, a lifelong baseball guy. Terry Francona's point was, look, baseball does a really good job of testing things and staying in communication with us, meaning yeah. managers and general managers. He said, you can bet, kind of what I said a little bit earlier in our talk, he said, you can bet if, again, big if, it ever gets to the point where they want to institute the electronic strike zone here in our level, our game at our level. He said, if they get to that point, I'm confident it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it
right.
because they would have tested it so much before it ever gets to us.
All right. Well, I still don't buy it. I honestly would rather have Angel Hernandez back there than a...
That's a big statement.
See, I was about to say, I think most of these players on this same article that are against electronic strike
are thinking about Angel Hernandez?
They probably would rather have the electronic strike zone. I'm just going on a limb there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Eric Hosmer is a guy that, as you said, CC Sabathia is definitely in favor of it. And, you know, I quoted Eric Hosmer in the story as well. I talked to him about it. And, yeah, he also says, look, if they can get it right, I think, you know, I'd love it. And there are some guys on that side of it, and including, you know, one guy I didn't talk to, but he said enough last summer, Ben Zobrist.
Oh, yeah, he definitely. He's been a big proponent of it for a while.
Yeah, remember, his first career ejection was last, like, July or August. And this is after, like, here's a model citizen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had been playing whatever it was, 12 years or so in the majors. Very first ejection last year, he was over the ball. I didn't know who the plate umpire was at the point, but he said, this is why we want electronic strike zone. Boom, you're gone.
Yeah, well, good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those are the magic words right there.
Good for the umpire.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know. Is there a point where baseball's going to get too far away from itself? Scott Miller is with us from Bleacher Report, one of the best baseball writers we have. You know, Scott, I was mentioning this last week. I think baseball spends a little bit too much time working on the game and telling everybody how bad it is and how boring it is and how long the game is and how they have to make it shorter and how they have to do this and how they have to do that. It's almost like they're telling everybody out there that their game is terrible. And I think a lot of people are kind of growing up with that attitude. I mean, this younger generation is like, well, yeah, I can't watch baseball. It's too long. It's not exciting enough. There's not balls not put in play enough. It seems like baseball's telling on itself in a lot of ways. Do you see where I'm going with that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I get it. And in a way, you know, I mean, I think there are some points to be made there, especially, you know, I mean, it's one thing to continue. Baseball's caught right now between trying to figure out, as Tony Clark said last week at the All-Star game, baseball's trying to figure out what it wants to be. And that's not a great position to be in if you don't have a clear vision for the future. And part of that, I think, is with some of this technology that's available. You know, on one hand, that's fine. I'm not a big exit velo guy. My ball go over the fence or not. If it did, it's a home run, and I don't need to know if it was 190 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour. Whatever, I get it. But you know what? Some people enjoy that, and that's fine. And I don't want to be. I mean, I'm not. I don't personally care much about exit velo, but a lot of people do, and that's fine. Where I'm going to your point, Chris, I think what worries me about some of this technology now that's in the game, I do think some of it has sucked the soul out of the game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Case in point, replay. Like, I think instant replay, where it started with boundary, I think it should be boundary calls. You know, did the ball go over the fence or not? Did it land on the right or wrong side of the foul line down the line? I get the bang bang plays at the bases. That's fine to a point. But the problem I have is where I say it sucks a lot of the soul out of the game. So we don't have there are hardly ever any manager arguments with the umpires anymore.
Yeah.
And that, I know, you know, that's almost, I guess, probably, I don't know, like lobbying for more fighting in hockey. Fans like all that stuff. But the manager arguments, I mean, you know, the classical clips, like Earl Weaver out there throwing his cap, you know, some like 5'6" guy with smoke coming from his ear, stomping on his cap, acting like a 10-year-old. Fans love it. I mean, TV, you're glued to it. It energizes ballparks. It energizes dugouts. And as we do more and more technology into the game, you have less and less of that human interaction. And as Jonathan Lucroy said in this electronic strike zone story, he said, you know, look, this is MLB real life. This isn't MLB the show. And
right.
I worry that we're getting closer to MLB the show.
Leave it to Jonathan to hit you with a quote like that. That's so perfect. It's so perfect.
I hope that was
him.
Before he was concussed.
Let me,
by the way.
Listen, now, you talked to some umpires too, Barry. You used to talk to the umpire spokesman, right? For this piece, right?
Yeah. The umpires union gave me a statement. As you would expect, I knocked on the door a couple of times to the umpire's room, actually at Petco Park, and walked in, talked to a few of them. They're always very receptive. They're good guys. I don't know them as well as I used to. That's where I missed the American and National League umpires.
Right.
I wish, you know,
I like
now,
that also.
Yeah, they come and they go. But anyway, they quickly, the times I went into the umpire's room, you know, they said, look, you know, they were very nice, but they said, basically, we're not allowed to talk about that. And the umpires union, you know, has basically issued a gag order. So I finally got a statement from the umpires union, which, yeah, was what you expect. You know, they said, look,
this isn't,
know,
you didn't get the same, you didn't get the statement from the same person running their Twitter, did you?
I wondered about that. Tony, when that Twitter fiasco came up a couple weeks ago, I was working on this story, and I had the statement of the umpires by then, and I thought, oh, my God.
It's the same person.
It's the same person. It's the lawyer for the umpires. You know? It's like, oh, they need to be relations or communications help there. But, you know, like they say, but you know what the interesting thing, too, is? The umpire's contract is up after this year. Quietly behind the scenes, baseball has to negotiate a new deal with the umpires this year. You know, we're always so aware of after 2021 is when the players and owners have to negotiate their new deal. But quietly this year is when the umpire's contract is up. Anyway, this electronic strike zone is not advanced enough to where I think it's going to affect the talks that much, but it's interesting, and it does add, I think, another layer of anxiety and tension to the talks.
I think it's so tough. I mean, it was crazy to me that in the Star game, Scott, they actually called for a replay, and the umpires went over and put the headsets on to review a call at first base in the second inning of an exhibition game. I mean, it's just, to me anyway, that's for baseball to worry about. Scott Miller is with us from Bleacher Report. Another piece, Scott, about some of these contracts that were signed by some of these young players that seem very team-friendly. Are we going to see more of that as we go along? Are the Padres going to try and get in on this with Fernando Tatis Jr.? you know, or is this something that just the Braves seem to be doing?
Well, yeah, the Braves, obviously, with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies. And the Albies one that he signed early this spring in April, that's the one that, you know, kind of hit the button to turn this into a national conversation. Because a lot of people think Ozzie's, you know, 7-year, $35 million is like the worst deal ever. It's hard to say. I mean, I do think some agents and players now are gun shy of free agency because of the last couple of years. And I do think some guys are looking to jump in and sign before they hit free agency. But, you know, it's hard to paint things with a broad brush. I mean, if you're a client of Scott Boras, you're not going to be afraid of free agency. It's going to be business as usual. From the team's perspective, look, you know, it's hard. It's called hardball, not just on the field. Right.
I mean, right.
There's a reason it's hardball. And, you know, the teams try to get the best deals they can, and the players try to get the best deals they can. And, you know, usually it works somewhere in the middle. Oftentimes, you know, a player gets a huge advantage. Other times the teams get a huge advantage. And, you know, but it's interesting because salaries are public. And, you know, and I mean, if people knew, Chris, what you're making, or Tony, what you're making, or what I'm making, if that became, even not even nationally, but if that became a conversation around San Diego, probably be a little uncomfortable for us. I know, Tony, when you were a player, you were in that predicament where everybody knows what all the players are making.
Right.
It's such a private thing, and I just, you know, I mean, it's easy to knock Ozzie Albies. Like, how could you sign that deal? But on the other hand, it's $35 million. He broke his elbow 2 years ago, and he said he told me he was afraid for his career, and
there
he
you
figured,
go.
You know, I'm grabbing some security, man.
I thought, Scott, that's what you highlighted the best in that entire article. It really opened it up so you saw both sides. Like, Ozzie Albies, it wasn't as simple as they offered him $35 million. He was like, that's a lot of money, I'm going to sign it. There's so many other things that played into it. His father passed away early. He's been the main supporter since then. Yeah. Broke his elbow just randomly. It wasn't something that, you know, was he expecting. And I thought Gerard Dyson hit it on the head, right? We can all sit back here and talk about how bad of a contract it was. And that may be true, but for each individual, and my dad used to tell me this all the time, because he was a guy who got phone calls from the union often when he signed his deals.
Taking those deals.
And it's to each his own. You don't know what's going on in somebody's background, how all of that affects not just the player in his contract, but the people who are attached to him. And I thought you did a terrific job highlighting that.
I appreciate you saying that. And I just think, Tony, as in many things in life, we try to break things down into black and white.
Right.
It's the problem or whatever the subject is. It's rarely that simple. There are layers and layers and layers of gray. And, you know, I mean, it's easy, you know, especially for the media. I mean, some of my brethren in the media were just killing Ozzie Albies. And I get it. You know, your hot takes are sexy. And, you know, it's important to have, you know, it's cool to have a hard-hitting opinion, and I get that. But, you know, sometimes you need to take a step or two back and look at the entire landscape. And some things pop up that maybe you don't think of in the first 2 hours after news is made.
I can admit I was one of the people that was I was blown away by the deal that he took. But on the other hand, I recognize that I don't know what he's going through in his private life. And it's two trains of thought, right? You got the Scott Boras side that's, hey, maximize your value. Because the truth is, both sides, right? It takes both sides to make the deal. And I felt like the one thing you hit on that was impactful was the fact that, and a couple of the players mentioned it, the fact the organizations are taking advantage of that, right? They know the backstory. They know a lot of this stuff.
Right.
So they take advantage. So that's kind of shame on them from that standpoint. But ultimately, the guy has to sign the piece of paper in order for it to go through.
Right. That's, I know, my wife would tell me to sign that one.
100%. My wife would.
What'd they say, 5 years, 35? Yes, you're signing now.
That's
now.
Right.
Immediately.
Yes, in permanent ink, not in number two.
No, no questions.
Right, Tony, Gene Dyson, you know, he's a terrific guy.
Yeah.
He's got a great way of expressing himself. You know, he kind of has his own unique language almost, you know, some in the way he uses some words here and there. And he's got some good opinions, and he's smart. And, yeah, to your point about the clubs will take advantage, but the players also, you know, have, you know, it takes two to make a deal. And Dyson, you know, he brought up the point that I know is, you know, no organization would ever admit to, and you know, it's uncomfortable for them. But, you know, Dyson said, look, I come from basically a dirt poor area in Mississippi, and he brought up some of the Latin players. And, you know, one of his points, too, was, you know, he brought up that uncomfortable subject of some clubs are going to take advantage of even the Latin players or players where they know about their background
because
they think they can get them to sign for cheap because they came from such a poor area. So, again, just one more layer to this entire subject.
Scott Miller just isn't enough to write about in the game of baseball. Scott, thanks so much for all your time, as always, and we'll catch up to you. See you at the ballpark soon.
Right back at both of you guys. Definitely see you soon. And thanks. Appreciate the kind words.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.